Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. All right, guys, I have some awesome news to share with you, and this is really exclusive. I've only shared this with a handful of really close friends, so you guys on the Elite Man Podcast are getting this news first. December 5th, that's right, December 5th, mark your calendars now, I'm going to be launching my second podcast to coincide with this podcast here called The Justin Stenstrom Show, J-U-S-T-I-N. S-T-E-N-S-T-R-O-M. Yes, it's named after yours truly. The Justin Stenstrom Show. Not the most original name of all time, though I guess not too many people have that Swedish background where their last name is Stenstrom, so it's pretty original in that sense. But guys, trust me, this show is going to be incredible. I already have so many awesome interviews lined up, and I've done a few already, and I gotta tell you right now, the guests on this show are incredible, and they're gonna blow you away. So, we're not replacing the Elite Man Podcast at all. Don't get me wrong. We still love doing the Elite Man Podcast. I still love hosting the Elite Man Podcast and will continue to do so. This is just an additional podcast to coincide with this one and to give you more tips, advice, strategies throughout the week to go along with this podcast here, the Elite Man Podcast. So we do this typically one time a week. We're going to be doing the Justin Stenstrom Show two times a week, Mondays and Thursdays. So we'll be launching it December 5th. Make sure you guys stay tuned. I'll give you more updates with more info. I'll tell you right now, we will cover a lot of the topics we cover on this show, and we'll give you a lot of advice, and it'll be interview style. As I mentioned, we have some awesome guests already lined up, but I'll drop some more details in the forthcoming episodes in the upcoming weeks. So stay tuned, but get excited right now, guys. This show is going to be incredible, and I'm getting excited already collaborating with some people and getting those interviews lined up for you. So without further ado, enjoy this episode, and I'll give you some more information about the Justin Stenstrom Show in the next few weeks. On today's episode, episode number 93, entitled How to Pitch Investors, we chat with the pitch whisperer himself, John Livesay. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is none other than the pitch whisperer, John Livesay. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, Justin, it's great to be with you. I love being part of anything that has the word elite in it.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, dude. I really appreciate it. I've been following your stuff for a little bit now. I kind of got introduced to you a few months back. And I know I wanted to do a podcast episode on getting investors and getting funding for projects and entrepreneurs, because obviously we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to our show, the Elite Man Podcast, and I figured, you know, there's no better expert out there who knows about getting funded and getting investors than you, man. So really excited to bring you on. Can you just quickly, I guess, bring our listeners up to speed for anyone who doesn't know kind of your background, how you got into this stuff and like how you became, I guess, sort of the expert you are in getting funded, getting investors?
Happy to. I had a successful sales career at Condé Nast for over 15 years, packaging multi-million dollar deals across print, digital, and video. And one of the things I did in the corporate division was look for startups that Condé Nast could use to help monetize the brand. And what I realized was tech CEOs, Justin, don't know how to tell a story, and they certainly don't know how to pitch. They talk about how their app works or something like that and confuse people. So that's what made me decide this is a big problem that I can help, because I love telling stories and I love helping people sell themselves without being pushy. So I started helping people with their pitches, and then I started the Successful Pitch podcast. And my second guest was Judy Robinette, and she started sending me people, and that really worked out well. And then we started Crack the Funding Code together. So it's been an exciting journey in the last couple of years. And now I have a book out based on my podcast called The Successful Pitch, Conversations on Going from Invisible to Investable.
So before we dive into it, just quickly, who is Judy? Is it Robinette? Who is that?
Yes, exactly? Judy Robinette is the author of How to Be a Power Connector, and she sits on the board of Illuminate Ventures in Silicon Valley and Peric Ventures in New York. She's been in the investing world for over 20 years, so she's really an expert in judging pitching contests. She sat on the board with Mark Cuban judging pitch contests, and she knows an unlimited number of investors from around the world. And so I'm just thrilled to have her as a business partner, and I bring the pitch part of it, and she brings the strategy and the financials to it.
Okay, cool. It's good, good little background info. So I guess where do we start? Like, when I think pitch, when I think getting investors, I'm thinking obviously, and I think most people are thinking Shark Tank. Is it something like that? I mean, where do we start when we're looking to get some kind of fundraising for our entrepreneurial idea?
Well, I think the first place to start is to figure out where you are on this ladder of going from invisible to investable. Is it just an idea you have and nobody knows about it and you're invisible, or slightly higher is you and a friend have started the company, but you haven't tested it to see if anybody wants it. And then you get to the interesting rung of the ladder when you're like, you know what? We're serious about this. We've got some people who are using it, even in a beta, or we have some interest from people who've given us their emails. It's on a waiting list, some kind of traction. One of the investors told me, Justin, if you're selling dog food, I want to see the dogs eating the food. So you have to really figure out who do you help and what problem are you solving before you even start to think about getting funded.
So I guess at that stage, when you do have more than just an idea, because I'm a big fan of that show, Shark Tank, too. I mean, I watch it all the time. You see some people get on there and they literally just have an idea, like it's a great concept, totally unique, novel idea, and sometimes every once in a while you'll get someone who bites on it and actually takes that, and then next thing you know they flash forward a couple of years later and it's a company or multi-million dollar product. But I guess most people, I'd say 95% of the people or 99% of the people on that show have it in, I guess, the beta stage or the stage where people are using it or they're testing it or they're actually making sales, and they want to take it to that next level where they can kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Scale.
Yes, scale, exactly. They want to scale it out and actually really start making money and revenue from it. So at that point, what are people looking to do to get investors in at that point?
Well, let me just touch a little bit on Shark Tank. I was fortunate enough to have Charles Michael Yim on the Successful Pitch podcast, and he's the only person in the history of Shark Tank to get all five sharks to give him money for something that was pre-revenue. Wow. And that's what I call irresistible, right? You've got a shark frenzy going on. And how he did that was he had successful exits under his belt. So he was the right person to execute this idea of the breathometer, where you breathe into something and it tells what your alcohol level is, whether you should drive or not. So he was solving a big problem, and there was some social impact on it. So not only would you make money, but you could help save lives, and he knew his numbers. So there's two things there that I want everyone to really understand. One is investors, whether in real life or on Shark Tank, invest in the jockey, not the horse. So you're the jockey. They're really investing in you, and then the horse is your idea, because that could change or pivot. So most people get in there and they pitch how great their idea is before selling themselves. You need to sell why you and why now first, regardless of where you are in the process. And once you've done that, then you have to pitch. And the most important thing is figuring out how to get in the right room with the right investors. And that's what Judy and I do.
And can you give us some tips or strategies on how you do get yourself in that room with people who are looking to invest in whatever it is you have?
Sure. One of the investors told me that if you can't figure out how to get a warm introduction to me, that probably means you can't figure out how to get your customers. So one of the things is to start looking on LinkedIn. And this is a big surprise for a lot of startups, Justin, because they think, well, I'm not looking for a job. I don't need a LinkedIn profile. But where do you think investors go once they do get a warm introduction to you to see who you are, what your background is? Do you have any references on there? Is your LinkedIn profile branded like all your other social media profiles? And it should be, because that's a huge way to start connecting with potential introductions and seeing there's people in common. So one of the things we did with Cole Smith, who has a military background, and he created a platform to help keep schools safe during medical emergencies. And he came to us, he said, I don't have a pitch, I don't even know what a pitch deck is, and I don't know any investors, but what I do have is a passion and a platform that some schools are using to get notified when there's a medical emergency. Instantly notifies all the first responders and parents instead of having the parents call each other. And then more importantly, it gives a color floor plan of where the problem is so the ambulance doesn't waste time at the front desk. when seconds matter. And I said, terrific, we can help you. So we work with Cole on his pitch deck. And what that basically is, Justin, is 10 slides that you give in 10 minutes to an angel group. And you need to have your numbers down, your business model, your financial projections, but most importantly, your story. People remember your stories, not your numbers. So that's why I love teaching people how to become master storytellers. And so we got Cole ready in about 6 weeks, and we put him in front of an angel who liked what he heard and invited Cole to pitch his angel group. And that was a 10-minute pitch and a 10-minute Q&A. And Cole said, well, I know I've got my pitch down because I practice it with you, but what about the Q&A? And I said, well, this is where a lot of people stumble, and you see that on Shark Tank too, don't you? Mm-hmm. I said, we're going to give you all the questions that you're most likely get asked so you can prepare. You know, in school it would be called cheating, but in life it's called preparation. Right? So, you know, questions like, how much does it cost to acquire a customer? Or what's your barrier to entry to competition? Things like that. But the minute you don't have an answer, you lose credibility and you get a no. So we make sure you have all those answers in addition to a good pitch. And he did it, and they said, congrats, we want to invite you back for the second round. And that's the whole point of the pitch, Justin, to get the second date. So once Cole got the second date, it was another 10-minute pitch to more angels in the group, and the Q&A went to 30. He got in due diligence for the $700,000 he was seeking, and then the real strategy kicks in. Judy got him in front of the New York Angel Group, which is one of the most prestigious groups out there. And he walked in and he said, look, I don't really need your money. I've got another offer, but I'm here because you guys have such a great reputation for mentorship and networking. And they said, oh, well, yeah, you should take the money. We know people at the FBI. We could help you scale this really fast. So you see what happens there? Fear of missing out, right? You've got two different angel groups courting you instead of you having to do all the courting. And one of the questions he got asked, which most people don't prepare for at all, is, well, who's going to fund your next round? So the $700,000 we're going to give you, it's going to last you 12 months. You'll hit certain milestones. Then what? And most founders say, I don't know. I'm just trying to get this round of funding done. But Judy knew that was coming. And so she put him in touch with an investor that she sits on the board with, Empiric Ventures. And that investor said, I'd love to fund your next round. That's typically $3 to $5 million after you hit some milestones, because I know people at the airport. We would like to take this and from the schools to the airport. So imagine how much more comfortable those angel groups are giving Cole the $700,000 because he's got a relationship with an investor he won't even need for a year.
So a lot of things, I guess, you touched on. Well, I guess the first thing I want to ask specifically, and this is, I think a lot of guys listening might not be as familiar with the term angel investor. Can you just kind of define what that is exactly?
Happy to. An angel investor is someone who is, quote, accredited investor. And they're typically wealthy people who have a certain net worth that allows them to put part of their portfolio, instead of just all in stocks and real estates, into startups. And if they lose it, they're not going to be broke. And so they usually join other angels in their city, and they form angel groups, and they typically invest in companies who are pre-revenue and anywhere from $250,000 all the way up to $1.5 million. Okay. And then venture capitalists typically are looking for companies that already have revenue coming in and are looking to scale even faster. And that's when you start what's known as a Series A investment. But most startups first start off with friends and family, then they graduate to getting funding from angels.
When they're getting investments from friends and family, is that all in contractual terms, or is that kind of just like word of mouth, or, you know, take it kind of, agreement, kind of standalone agreement, or is that like actual, like, you know, in a contract kind of thing?
Well, if they're smart, they'll put it in a contract, because you want to be very clear that if someone's giving you X amount of money, that you're giving them X amount of equity that typically is vested over time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that money, that equity can't be used until the company's up and running 2 years from now or what have you. But you don't want to give away too much of your company, because you need to save some equity for yourself as well as for future investors.
Mm-hmm, totally. And this, the angel groups obviously is like the next like step, and it's obviously mm-hmm. better to kind of go to that. Where do you find these angel groups exactly? I know you kind of went through you know, what to say to them and how to the procedure afterwards, but I guess where do you
right.
actually go up and find and set up these interviews or these first kind of time meetings with these people?
Well, it's best to work with someone who has connections to those angel groups and can make a warm introduction to you. But you can Google, you know, angel groups in your city, and you'll see that there are angel groups, and sometimes they let people come in and just listen. But you need to start using your network and your connections. That's why Judy's book is so helpful on how to do that, so that you can start to figure out ways to get in front of those angels and figure out what they're looking for. It doesn't do any good to get in front of them if you aren't prepared, because you'll get a no.
Mm-hmm. And what types of people do you think should go for investors? I mean, is it just any entrepreneur looking to scale up, or is there kind of a specific criteria?
It's not anybody. If, for example, if you're not willing to sell your company in 3 to 5 years, that's typically what investors are looking for, a 3 to 5 return on their investment in 3 to 5 years. And the majority of that happens when another company buys your company. So if this is a company that you've started that you never want to sell and never want to go public, and you just want to keep it in your family for generations and generations, then that's not something that investors are interested in typically, because they want to get their money and then move on and make the next startup investment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally it does. What percentage do angels look for, or other investors look for, to try to have for your company? Is it like a small percentage? I know, like, looking on like Shark Tank, they have all sorts of numbers, like 3% up to like 30%. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are they usually looking for? Are they looking for a big piece of the pie, or are they just kind of happy with that smaller percentage?
Well, it all depends on how much traction you have. There's a whole strategy on how to get your valuation up. A lot of it has to do with if you've had other successful exits. Obviously, if you started a company, got investors to invest in it, sold that company, and their investors made a lot of money, that's gold, right? Investors like to put their money on you again, because you've got a proven track record. So your valuation goes higher, and you have to give up less equity to someone because you have a proven track record and supply and demand. But typically, you know, it all depends on if you have revenue or not. That impacts whether you how much equity you give up, and who else is on your team, and even who's on your advisory board is a big factor. So there's a lot of things that go into how much equity you have to give up, and again, how desperate you are to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense, man. So you get yourself that meeting. Is this like you have like 4, 5, 6 people in a room? Is this like Shark Tank where you're up there, kind of the spotlight's on you, and you know you're going through your pitch about why they should invest in you? Is it like that sort of nerve-wracking?
Yes, it is. There's no cameras typically, but yeah, you're in a room full of more than just 6 or 7 people usually.
Oh, really?
And how many? Oh, it varies depending on how big the angel group is per city and how many people showed up to that particular meeting. But if you're called back for the second pitch, then it really can be, you know, up to 50, 60 people listening to it. Wow. Because they as a group will invest. So they're all going to ask you questions. That's where people really get thrown off, Justin. It's so important to come across as somebody who's competent but not arrogant. And coachable is the other big thing they're looking for. Because a lot of investors want to give you their money and their advice. And if you're a smart startup founder, you'll be looking for that kind of investor who has connections in addition to just giving you money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I think, why so many people like going on Shark Tank. You got Cuban, mm-hmm. Damon John, Barbara Corcoran, all of them. They have, you know, just incredible connections. And I think that's just as important, if not probably more important, than the money they're actually getting.
Yes, because before you know whether that person's a fit for you or not, you have to define what your culture is that you've created in your startup. Is it very hierarchical, you know, that we're very strict about who reports to who and who does what? Or is it more relaxed and, you know, not so structured? And you want to make sure that your culture fits the investor's mindset, because they have to be a fit with you. If they're someone that needs weekly updates and you plan to give people monthly updates, that's going to be a conflict, right? So you need to figure out what is their expectations, what kind of company culture do they like to be part of, and, you know, is that a fit?
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by the Elite Man Mastermind group on Facebook. Are you looking to improve your life in a number of very important ways? Do you want to improve, say, your dating, your health, your fitness, your business, your confidence, your social skills, your style, any one of these areas? If so, the best way to do it right now is to join our Facebook group. The Elite Man Mastermind group is the best way to build a sense of community online. It's so tough nowadays to feel like you're connected to like-minded people. Joining this group solves that problem. We have hundreds of awesome guys, speakers, thought leaders, life coaches, dating coaches, business leaders, health and fitness experts, bloggers, podcasters, and just regular awesome dudes like yourself in this group right now. And they're sharing their incredible insights, advice, tips, strategies, and techniques to mastering all sorts of really important areas of their life. If you're serious about improving your life, go right now to Facebook and type in Elite Man Mastermind. It'll have you added in within just a few hours. It's a very exclusive group, so membership is limited, but right now you can get yourself in just a couple of hours. Type it up right now and join the group. Like I said, it's a closed group, which means it's pretty intimate and not everybody can join, but right now I will add you in. I want to get as many awesome guys like yourself into the group as possible. We have such a great community of leaders, speakers, coaches, influencers, people who can share their insights with you and share their great ideas with each other to build each other up and build incredible relationships with one another and help each other become the best people we can be. Join the group right now, guys. Elite Man Mastermind. We're on Facebook. I know you're on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. Whether you're on your phone or your desktop, go on Facebook right now and join the group. All right, back to the show now. John, have you used angel investing groups in your own sort of businesses?
You mean have I pitched for my own startup to get funded?
Yeah.
No, because that's not my business model. Because what I'm doing is not particularly scalable. That's the other answer to your question, Justin, which is what kind of – like if you have a bakery or a family business or – you're a trainer and you're trying to scale or that's not typically what investors are looking for. So you have to have a business that can really grow fast, a la Uber, Airbnb, those kinds of companies. So that's my business is not something that investors are typically going to invest in and then see a huge growth because that's not what I'm about.
Like, let me see, like Aaron Marino, for instance. I don't know if you saw his episode on Shark Tank. He actually had two episodes. The first one, he was selling this product that he had online about like fashion. And Aaron's a great guy, by the way, and he was on the podcast a year and a half ago or so. But he was talking about his experience on Shark Tank. And the first one he was on there, he didn't get a deal. He was selling this product about fashion, and it was like a couple $100 product or something online. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get investors for that. But then he came back like the next year and had this new company. It's like Pete and Pedro's, I believe, something like that. And it was a specific product on men's grooming or something along those lines.
Mm. Right. Well, Dollar Shave Club is a classic example of something investors love to invest in because the problem they're solving for Dollar Shave Club is shaving razor blades are expensive and they're a hassle to go buy whenever you run out. So imagine you don't have to do that. It's less expensive and they get mailed to you on a regular basis, right? Mm-hmm. And the number of people that men that shave is huge. So the market's big. There's a huge potential to scale and you're being disruptive like Uber was to taxis, Dollar Shave Club is to, you know, Gillette. So that's where they really get excited about investing in something that's got that potential.
So sort of with just a few questions, man, I want to kind of go through like maybe your three or four best tips on delivering a successful, I guess, pitch perfect pitch. You got time for that, man? Give us
tips. Sure. Right,
so what's your number one tip? Let's just kind of go right through this.
You may be given 10 minutes to get pitch somebody, but if you don't grab their attention in the first 90 seconds, you've lost them. So don't waste time saying cliche things like, thank you so much for having me here. My name is blah, blah, blah. You need to pull those heartstrings, man. The number one tip is grab the heartstrings so people open their purse strings. And the best way to do that is with a really compelling story or a really great statistic that tells them something that makes them stand up and go, I didn't know that. Tell me more.
Love it, man. I hear like landing pages, for instance, or any pages that someone lands on, they have like 3 to 5 seconds before the visitor's gone. Either they pull them in or that visitor's out of there and you lost a potential sale or a follower or anything like that. So I like that, man. Grab them in as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I have an example if you want to hear it.
Sure, absolutely.
One of my clients, Martin, one of the exercises I have people do is stack their moments of certainty because this really builds up your confidence. Whether you're on camera or not, people, you're pitching for money, people get nervous. And I help calm people down, hence the pitch whisperer. And there's three questions that investors have or anybody has when you're pitching, whether it's to get funding, get people to join your team, whatever. And the first question is, do I trust you? And that's a gut thing, Justin. That's why the handshake was all about, I don't have a weapon in my hand. You don't have to fight or flight here, right? Mm-hmm. Then you move up to the heart. Do I like you? Which is all about showing empathy. And then it goes into the head. Will this make me money? Will this work for me? How does this startup fit into my other investments? So you need to be addressing all three of those unspoken questions when you pitch. And again, going back to the jockey with a story. So I had Martin stack his moments of certainty so he would be confident when he got in front of them. And he said, wow, that was really powerful, because the one thing that really stands out is my story of why I was born in South America. I grew up in the Netherlands. And when I turned 18, my parents took me back to South America, dropped me off naked in the Amazon jungle to survive, because in my culture, that's the rite of passage into manhood. And I said, well, guess what? We just found the opening to your pitch. That's memorable. What did you learn in the Amazon jungle? He said, well, I learned how to focus and pivot and persevere. I said, great. And you're going to take those lessons from the Amazon jungle to the entrepreneur jungle of being in concrete. And when he had that pitch ready, he won a pitch contest and got funded, because the investor said, I'm going to invest in that guy that survived the Amazon jungle, man, because if he can survive that, he can survive anything in the business world.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like that.
So a really strong opening. What is it about you that makes you, you know, why you? That's that example of why you. And the other one, why now? Do not ignore the why now. That would be my big second tip. Okay. For example, with Airbnb, if the economy hadn't been in trouble in 2008, 2009, people wouldn't be willing to rent out a room for extra income. When the idea first came out, a lot of people said, that's crazy. Nobody's going to do that. Same thing with Uber. If we all didn't have smartphones, Uber wouldn't work. So why now is just as important as why you.
Why are you presenting this, you know, in this moment
yes.
of time?
Mm-hmm.
Not 5 years from now, not 5 years ago, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And there's a reason why people are so frustrated with solving whatever the problem is, the way they've been solving it, and they're ready to make a change.
Is there kind of a way to, I guess, really answer that question, like maybe a little tip that addresses that right away?
I would say, yes. For example, you know, when you're talking about the scale of a problem, in the case of Uber again, you just paint the picture and you say, imagine standing in the rain in New York City trying to get a cab, or standing in the heat in the summer in Vegas in an hour-long taxi line, no longer having to be your reality. Well, you don't have to manage it, because we've created it. You can now get a cab from your phone, no lines, boom, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So now is the time to do this, because people have smartphones and we've got the system set up to totally transform the way people take a cab or get a cab. So that's it. You really – so did you sort of feel the heat? Or feel like, you know, imagine standing in the rain trying to get a cab. Then in either of those situations, you see, the more empathy you show, Justin, for your customers, the more the investors really feel like you're the right person to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Love it, man. Got it. Tip three.
Tip three would be, tell stories, not numbers. Don't get into a bunch of acronyms. Don't try to impress people with how smart you are and how much more you know than they do, because here it is. The confused mind always says no. Mm-hmm. So just tell enough in your pitch that people say, that's interesting, tell me more. And then if they want to see a product demo or anything else in due diligence, that's the time for it. If you're given 10 minutes, do not waste 5 of those minutes giving a product demo. That's not what's important. Your investor is not your customer. They're not going to buy and use this. That's not how they decide how to invest.
Cool. Is this more stories about yourself, like kind of like you said with the jungle thing, or is this more mm-hmm. of stories of maybe like customers' experiences or things like that?
You can tell stories about either. Like when you get to the team slide, that's the place for telling a story about how you came up with this idea. How did you come up with a name for your company? How did you recruit these great people to be on your team? That's where you want to tell stories. When you're talking about the customers and why you help them, like for example, one of our clients, Mallory, is a former math teacher who's created an app to help low-income students who can't afford the $100 plus Texas Scientific calculator they need to be able to do their math homework in school, but they can afford a $5 app on their phone. Well, she's telling the story of why she saw this problem firsthand as a math teacher and decided to do something about it. So that's tugging at your heartstrings, helping low-income students who have a smartphone but can't afford the calculator that would normally have to drop out of school if they couldn't pass this math test.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. That makes a lot of sense, actually. really getting to why I think the investor should invest in your thing, and like what kind of what more meaning it is than just money, right?
Exactly. You have to be passionate about it. It goes back to your why. Why are you doing this? It can't be just for the money, because you'll quit. There has to be a reason why you're so passionate about solving this problem and why you have such empathy for your customer.
Cool, man. Is there a final tip, like step number four or tip number four?
I think the other one is the key from Arthur Ashe. You know, he said the key to success is confidence, and the key to confidence is preparation. Do not wing it. So many people say, oh, I'm just going to wing it. Well, this is your Super Bowl of meetings, man. This is your Olympic moment. You think those athletes don't train and practice? They do. And so you need to get some help and get practice. You're not going to sound robotic, but you need to know what you're going to say so that you come across concise, compelling, and clear.
Love it, man. Thanks a lot for that little rundown of how to pitch, dude. That's really good. John, is there any sort of send-off, last takeaway message before we kind of wrap things up here? I know it's been a really awesome interview and kind of jam-packed with a lot of info. Is there any last takeaway message? And also a place our listeners can find out more about you.
Sure. Well, that's easy. They can just go to my website, which is johnlivesay.com, and I have a free ebook there of 5 superstars. Investors share their secrets. And if you want to get my free PDF of the 3 mistakes to avoid when you're pitching, just go to sellingsecretsforfunding.com/fire, and I'll send that off to you. And the last takeaway is, remember that people invest in people they trust, they like, and most importantly, are coachable.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it again, John. It's been awesome having you on, and I know our guys are really going to love this one. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dustin.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man Podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.